Hey, welcome everybody. Mark Edward Davis here. This is a core presentation that's just foundational, and every one of you need to get this stuff under your belt. I did, and it's going to be something where you come through this tonight, you're going to be hit and share. You're going to, more of my buddies need to hear this kind of stuff, because in the West, we are bombarded with messages that honestly are just not man-friendly. I'll just be genuine. We'll talk about it more here in a little bit. We aren't appreciated as much, but it's not just about that. It's like when you go overseas and your heart feels drawn, because we're a group here that feel like what we're looking for, our half, our ultimate match, could be found in a country somewhere else, overseas, in another place, outside of our own country. And we attract men here from all Western nations, from Europe, all parts of Europe, Canada, from Australia, New Zealand, even South Africa now. I've had Greece and all these different places where men are saying, you know, I feel drawn to a different culture. And I believe more and more as the world gets smaller, this is only going to increase. So we are really the leading authority today on this international matchmaking for marriage, very specifically a group of guys who are serious about finding the ultimate life partner. And this group is an amazing group of guys. Our demographics are fantastic. Our guys are those who are doing this because they want the best for their lives, and they are following the leading of their heart. So as you go overseas, one of the things the men find repeatedly, both in different profiles you might have seen online, and then of course meeting them, is this idea where they have an expectation of, I want my man to be the man. He's the man. You know, he's the man. You lead. This kind of a thing. And we come from a place where, after so much time being in our Western cultures, that to lead is considered a threat sometimes to the opposite sex, that we walk on eggshells all the time. And it's like we're even nervous to lead. We're nervous to open a door. Somebody's going to be insulted that we're somehow insulting them, that they didn't have the physical arm strength to open it for themselves. And we're like, it's so belittling, guys. And it's a deep agony. So tonight, if you find yourself in pain, be encouraged. By the end of the night, I'm going to give you some stuff that's going to finally. You're going to be very excited about what we go through tonight. And really, this is about cultural understanding. I will put one qualification on this. I am going to be very brutally honest tonight. I'm going to be very direct. And honestly, if I had a feminist in the crowd, she'd be trying to hunt me down after what I shared tonight, because I'm just going to tell you what the women say, unfiltered. It's not me. I'm going to tell you what you'll find, what they say, what they believe. And it would piss off a lot of those who ascribe to the extreme feminist philosophy, and those who don't believe in the roles of men and women. And so with that, I am not here to pick a fight with anybody. I'm just here to tell you the truth. And here's what I'm here to say. Finding an international partner isn't for everybody. Okay, but what the people, the men who come here, the men and women who both come here, and you understand the women's the same thing. Women, most women overseas, you're going to find a local man to marry. It's not all of them that are even truly interested or even considered marrying somebody outside of their country. But for those of us who are, we're a unique community. And what I want you to do is understand, as I tell you some truisms, what you're doing is simply, the guys who are here, the women who come and are attracted to us, are here because of one reason. It resonates with them. And I truly believe that what it is you're called to find somebody overseas. And therefore, I believe in some cases, your dating experience back home may continue to be frustrated because you're not paying attention to your heart. Your heart's saying what you're looking for is somewhere else. So having said all that, I'm going to give you a cultural dose of reality tonight that is liberating for some, and for some on the other side of the spectrum would have them seething and foaming at the mouth. But I just decided I'm not going to hold back tonight. So get ready for this. This is powerful stuff. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. You're going to be glad you came and caught this presentation. Being the man, what it means to be the man to women overseas. Here we go. Outline for tonight's discussion, I'm going to talk about common references and phrases that are heard that come up quite often from women overseas. I'm going to talk about the kind of things that they are saying you won't be hearing back home. I'm going to talk about, well, why is that they're saying these things? Where are they really coming from? What does it mean? I'm going to talk about understanding her expectations. Where is she coming from? What would she love to have happen? What is her expectation of you as being the man? What does that even mean? We'll talk about what we're accustomed to back home, by contrast, and how to be the man and then some. I'm going to help you be a hero, be the man, and deliver and exceed expectations. So she just melts. And I love all this stuff. So we're going to get some good, really practical tips here after the fact. And you're going to want to come back and rewatch this and take notes. And by the way, if you ever come to my webinars without taking notes, you're just missing. You're going to have to watch the replay, get a pen and paper, and take notes. Because all my stuff is always very chunk full of good, healthy, awesome stuff to take away and quote later. By the way, I would ask you too, guys. I want to do some. I've had another friend of mine who started doing little quote posters. So if I say something in any of my YouTube presentations at all, you think is worthy of a quote poster, you know, it was one of the sunset backgrounds. It's, you know, this thing. And Mark Davis said, you know, send them to me. I want to do some of these. They sound like fun. Anyway, we may have some of those tonight. It's going to be a fun night. Okay, common phrases you're going to hear from women overseas. Let's talk about it. You'll hear, first of all, I expect him to be the man. You'll say directly to the guy, well, you decide, you're the man. He will be my man. There's this possessiveness about, this is my man, I have a man. It's actually a valued thing, I have a man. Just tell me what you want to do. I'm the woman, and you're the man, kind of a thing. And again, already I would be ruffling feathers of feminists, but I'm just telling you, this is what you hear. So you have to understand why they're saying these things, where they're coming from, what they're looking for. Let's talk about it. First of all, I'm going to give you a couple of excerpts from some ladies' profiles. You've seen similar things online, so this isn't anything new. But here are some of the things that I just grabbed, really, just off the first page of our website of ladies' profiles. I just grabbed two real quick and copied and pasted. Really, I only picked two, and I copied them both here. So this is verbatim because this is universal. You hear this stuff over and over and over again from women overseas. So I'll dissect a little bit where it's coming from and why they're saying it. But let me give you the quotes. What I'm looking for in a man, if you look at the profile pictures, there's a section that says, what I'm looking for in a man. I'm looking for a man who will be solid, a solid wall and protection for me. I really believe in differences of gender, roles for men and women. Of course, we have the same responsibility and values, but a woman should be feminine, a man masculine. He likes to take care of the material stuff and problems, and I will take care of the house coziness and of the family happiness. How will I do this? It is my secret. And this was from Ina, age 31. I love this. You know, you'd think that this was written by some male chauvinist, machoist guy. No, these are women. This is what they're dreaming for. This is what they're hoping for. They believe in women being feminine, men being masculine. And this is in there right up front. And what I'm looking for in a man is somebody who would be this protector, provider. He takes care of the money stuff and problems of the house, so I'm protected, and I'm going to make his life worthwhile. I'm going to make him happy. I'm going to make sure we have a cozy little house. And I love the ending. This is my secret. They also like to maintain a sense of mystery, so there's always a good energy, a tension, a flirting tension within the household. Love it. Love it. Okay, let me look at another. I'll give you one more here. What I'm looking for in a man. Like a lot of people in this world, I want to find my twin soul. This is another way you've heard me talk repeatedly in my talks about their concept of relationships is not two partners in a relationship. It's finding their half. It's their twin soul. It's the two united together. They're the same person. I want to find a close person with whom it is really possible to create a strong and loving family. A man I am looking for is clever, kind, generous, loving, responsible, hardworking, honest, and intelligent. He's a reliable partner in life and is good company, with whom I can share all my happiness, sadness, and problems. And the age doesn't matter if he has life. Reliable and trustworthy. A man who with whom I will love talking and learning and having a good time together. And even if we're silent, we will still understand each other without words. I think a man I am looking for should be, first of all, my best friend. I just think it was, we would all, both of us, men and women, would come together and agree with what she wrote and say, yeah, this is what we're looking for. You know, there's no games, it's this joy, it's energy, it's we bring to the table the best for each other, and we're united as one. And to me, I love just the way, guys, this is why guys get addicted. They say some of our profiles on our website are like crack, because you just get hooked on reading all these, because it's like, it just ministers to you. Your heart says, yes, this is what I'm looking for. And they put it into words better than I could. They're so poetic. I love it. And this goes back to something I'm going to lead up to in further teachings on masculinity. But one of the things you have to understand, what's the core desire of a woman's heart? And if you know from my book, again, you guys all read it, you know I do some extensive talks from John Eldridge's book, Wild at Heart, and his wife's co-authored book called Captivating. And it's the talk about the core desires of the man and the core desires of the woman. So if you understand what she's saying, I want you to see how naturally it fits into what psychologists and PhDs are saying are really the true underlying core desires of a woman's heart that are unspoken. It's your real heart's desire. And he says it basically comes down to these three. And I found this to be true, and I found the three he came up with for men also to be true. So they're pretty good stuff to hang your hat on. The first core desire of a woman's heart is she wants to be pursued. The woman wants the man to lead in pursuing her. She wants to know she is valuable enough that a man will say, wait, time out. You got my attention. I want to know something about you. You fascinate me. Okay, wait, stop. I want your attention. Let's get together because I got to know more about you. And he pursues her. Literally in, and I don't mean to overuse the word literally, but very factually, psychologically, socially, in the foreign cultures of you know, Asia and Latin America and Eastern Europe, where we're talking about here that we go to introduce men, it's you'll find the women are really, I don't want to say it repulses them, but it is absolutely undesirable for them to be the initiator, the pursuer in a relationship. Now, once you have each other's attention and you've got a little game on, she'll flirt and she'll do some stuff to draw you in. That's all fair. But first contact, she has to know that she's being pursued by the man. So the man has to initiate. And so you'll see that's part of when I talk about being the man. Understand the core desire of a woman's heart. She wants to be pursued first and foremost. She wants to know she is worthy of somebody's time and attention to stop and say, I want to get to know you, and stop for a second. Wait a minute. I'm going to do something to get your attention to stop because I want to get to know you more. And if when that is just that reaches her heart to say, wow, her core says, wow, I'm valued by a man. He wants to get to know me. He's setting some stuff. He's going out of his way to do something cute or whatever to get my attention because he wants to get to know me better. Boy, hear that. Hear that. Please hear that. Next is she wants to be caught up in an adventure. Now, understand this in this concept because it is so vital, because this mirrors what I teach about masculinity as I get into other aspects of being the man, is that as a man, you know, we come to the table with a purpose. We're going somewhere in life. Like I say in my book and other places, I'll tell you, you know, your posture is at like of a king with a growing kingdom, you know. And I don't care if you're just a sales manager at a company like I was in my younger days, you know. It's like I just feel like I'm doing something to better my life. And I'm adding, I got a new car, you know, I got a little better place to live. I got some new duds, you know. Now I'm able to travel a little bit. And you're expanding your friendships. And maybe now you're friends with somebody in positions of power and this kind of thing. And you're going, this feels great. Now I just want to bring the right woman to share in this adventure with me. And so it's of the essence of like, if you want to be, I don't want to say be more bold about it. It's like, look, my train is going this way. If you want to get on with me, great, because it's going this way. Whether you get on or not, it's going this way. They really like that kind of energy, actually. Tell you the truth, they really want to know that this guy is going somewhere with or without her. He's got his own ambition in life. He's got a plan. And then when she senses that you love your adventure, whatever it is, and again, you don't have to be a global world traveler. Like you said, I was a little guy for a long time. I was a printing sales rep in Sacramento, California, and I just drove to little, you know, places that I did their brochures and their marketing stuff, and I loved the people, and I had the meetings, and I got the things done. But I liked the job. I really liked the job. I didn't make crap, but it was so fun. I loved the interaction with people. And then I got to step myself up to an Audi, and it wasn't new, but it was an Audi, and it was so cool, and I just felt this great adventure, and I wanted to just have somebody share in it. So it's not about the money, guys. It's about the sense of your own heart. You know, do you have a sense of adventure? And truly, if you buy a ticket, get on a plane, and actually go overseas to meet these women, you are an adventurous man. I mean, the fact that you did that already puts you at a different league. It's like, wow, this guy had some initiative. I mean, it takes something to leave your hometown, believe in a bigger worldview that there's something out there. You're going somewhere, and again, you're just looking for that right person to share your life adventure with. And again, I've had guys at all parts of the income spectrum, that's not what it's about. It's about your own sense of adventure. And you'll hear later as they talk about they love a man who's got just a sense of ambition about him. He just, you know, he's trying to do something great in his life. you know, at whatever level, and he feels good about it. Again, you know, my dad was a pastor. He didn't do what he did for money, but he loved doing what he did, period, helping people and all the rest of that. So the third thing that's the core desire of a woman's heart is she longs to have her beauty just be captivating to a man, to have somebody just go, wow, to stop and go, wow. To have her beauty valued and appreciated, that the thought that I never forget this when we came here to America, and so many more of the men appreciated her being beautiful here than back when she was in Ukraine. And one time, I never forget this, early on, it's like the first couple of weeks, some guy literally was like stunned and kind of staring at her, and he literally stepped completely off the sidewalk and almost went all the way to the ground. And my wife was just like crying, because she saw it coming. She saw the guy couldn't get his eyes off her like this, and then he stepped off the curb. And for her, that was just so satisfying to her heart. That was just so satisfying. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, my beauty was captivating to somebody. And truly, if a woman's open to it, you know, their beauty, whatever it is, you know, if it's simply valued and appreciated and captivated, genuinely captivating to a man, that ministers to their heart. You want to talk about any one of these three things, make a woman just do that big sigh, you warm their heart, you want to win their heart. This is the core desire of a woman's heart. Now let's talk about their cultures, where they're coming from. First, I'm going to share a couple stories. And again, I would get myself in trouble, but these are not my quotes. This comes from them. And so I'm going to tell you the way it goes. I'm going to tell you about my wife and I. You may have heard me share this story years ago, and I've told this. If you've been with us for more than 2 years, you've heard me tell this story. But my wife and I were leaving we were grocery shopping, leaving a parking lot. And before we turned, we waited because this guy was walking in front of us. Well, this guy was like 6'3", big African-American basketball player. We had the Sacramento Kings right next to us where we live in Sacramento. And his outfit was immaculate. I mean, it was like it had never been worn before. These basketball duds, these designer shoes that all matched. And I wondered if he was one of the Kings. I mean, he really looked that together. But the funny part was you get this visual, this totally stunning, handsome man decked out in brand new sports clothes, and he's walking a wiener dog. I mean, and it was one of the bald, skinny little dachshunds, and he's on a little stick. This thing couldn't have been bigger than his shoe, and it was this dichotomy. It was hilarious to look at this. It was just funny to see this picture of this monstrous, handsome, good-looking guy who looked like he was a rich basketball player walking this little wiener dog. In my mind, I was being a little sarcastic, but I just told my wife, I go, you know, I bet he just left the house, and his wife is in there and says, honey, you get yourself out there and you walk that dog. And, you know, I was laughing about it with her. And my wife had this is why I love being married to a woman from another culture, because she always has this spin around different perspective where it just, you know, I'm never bored. Everything's always entertaining. So I'm just making this funny comment about, you know, this picture. It probably happened back home, and she's telling him to get out of the house and go walk the dog. You know, this big, yes, dear, this big guy, right? And she goes, well, honey, you can't blame a woman for asking. The man's got to be the one to put her in her place. I'm like, excuse me? You say those words today, and it's like you would have the feminist police banging your door down. And this is the way she phrased it. And I thought about it. And in a way, here's the story of masculinity. I want to give you a little story about her expectation of you being the man. For her, if you are that wall that was mentioned by that other girl earlier, she wants my man to be that wall. He's strong. I can push against him, and he doesn't move. See, this is one of the things they like. They like a man where they push against his wall and he doesn't move. Then they feel safe. Because then they can ask for whatever they want, be whatever they want, and they know the man is comfortable in himself to say, no, honey, we're not doing that. I'm sorry. I love you, but no. And instead, in our culture as men, we're wimped out. You know, women start asking, we're like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? I better find a way to do it. They love the aspect in a relationship married to one of these women where they can just ask, hey, this would be great. I'd love to do this. I'd love to do that. And where the guy can, you know, be comfortable to say and loving towards her, but still say, have the word to say, no, you got to understand where we are, what we're doing, you know. And so if she can feel comfortable that he's strong enough to be able to say no when really the family needs a no, then she can rest in that. And she can rest in that and be the woman. He's the man. And for her, it provides such a sense of comfort to have that place of security. And This is very controversial. If you haven't spent a lot of time overseas, you know, it's going to sound like you're looking for subservient women. This is not the case at all. It is not about being subservient women. In fact, if anything, it's about them being free and liberated to ask for whatever they want and speak their mind freely, knowing that you're going to be that source of that stability that's not movable, that you're the man. And then when it comes back the other way, then she was okay. Then it's cool. You know, thanks, you know, honey, for listening to me. Very different cultural perspective. Now, let me tell you the second story. Brian went to buy a house, and he's engaged, and so his girl's going to come. Now, what he did was he went ahead and got an escrow and picked a house. And it, guys, this is not what I counsel. What I counsel for guys is when you're looking at a relationship, even guys before they go on a tour, they're going, you know what I want to do? I want to wait to go on a tour. I'm going to get my house first. I'm going to get this stuff. I'm going to pack it in, get all this furniture, get this great place. I'm going to come invite her to join me in this castle. Because Mark, you talked about building, you know, your castle. You're a king, a grand king. Bring her in. There's a place where you want to lovingly invite your woman into the decision-making process, especially when it comes down to picking her nest. I said, if you want to be a great loving man, go on your tour and you can live in an apartment, but tell her, look, I've been saving up because I want to buy a house, but I didn't want to pick it until I found my woman so we could do this together. And she'd be like, oh, I mean, really, truly. So Brian goes out there and he's showing her pictures and she's going, honey, you just make the decision, whatever you want. Hey, if this is what you want to do, it's your money. You know, we're not married yet. Just, you know, you make the decision, whatever you want. And so it ends up that the deal didn't go through. And so as soon as he told her that, she was like, oh, thank God. That house was horrible. I really didn't like it at all. And he was like, what? Why didn't you say something? She says, well, it's not my money. It's your money. You earned it. You have a right to pick whatever you want. You know, I'll support you. And if that's what you wanted, I would love you in it. And guys, all of a sudden your mind is blown going like, holy cow. Holy cow. Are you kidding me? I could have gone through this whole process and she would have just said, hey, you know, if that's what you want, I'll support you in it. And when you realize that's a place they come from in terms of supporting their man, when you're the man, you know, you got to come away with some quick lessons. You got to have a little bit of responsibility as your role as a leader because they will follow. And that grew me up quickly. When I first got married, I realized I did not understand leadership enough, you know, because I came in and she wanted to just lead and she kept looking at me like, okay, what are we about? What do I do? Okay, I guess I have to think about that. All right, so what do we want to do? And then we end up creating great conversations about talking what we want our life to be together. You have to be comfortable leading. And in doing that, we're not talking about being A-type personality where you're just dictating and going, listen, woman, I'm the man, you're doing this, you're doing that, get back in your place. That is not it at all. But what it has to do with, again, is following forward with your plans. Hey, we're going somewhere and you know, getting together to come up with your life plan together and then moving on it, checking back with her, but keeping it moving forward. Like it said in the quote earlier, though, since, you know, he's my man, he'll provide, but also protect. And as problems come up, he deals with the money. He deals with the problems. So I'm protected. So I can just do my job of making our home cozy and providing happiness to our household and making it a joy, making what we are inside the home absolutely blissful. So you get more comfortable. And it'll happen in time, guys, because we are not in a place where we've grown up comfortable with these kind of leadership roles. But then, of course, being gracious at all times to include her, and you just get richly rewarded for this kind of relationship. Now, let me talk about, by contrast, this is their desire. They would love to be in this and all the rest of this kind of stuff, but you know, we have to ask the question, what is their local experience with their local men in you know, Asia or Latin America or Eastern Europe? Do their men deliver on their hopes for this kind of a relationship? And so let's go over what they experience. Their dating experience overseas is that their local men, they lack ambition. This is, we heard this on many, many talks I've shared with you guys, that the men are non-committal. You know, like I said, they don't feel like they're going to make a lot more money in their life, so getting married just kind of adds to the overhead. And so they're not really, they're not really big to say, you know, they have a game plan, or they're wanting to win her to say, I'm committed to you, I want to work and make this family work. And they feel that. They feel that they continue to try to win this man and convince him and bring him in and serve him to hoping he'll like respond and reflect that back to them and give them the commitment back, but they don't. And that's their frustration. And it's a very deep longing, because they will serve their man. They will make him what he wants for breakfast, take care of his house, try to do everything he can to make him happy, and he's still non-committal to even staying in the relationship, and it's a deep pain for them. The men are emotionally disconnected. They like to stay a step away from, you know, really developing that, like they describe, that best friend kind of relationship. And the guys will leave for the smallest reasons. Like I said, I've interviewed women where they says, hey, you know, sometimes I'll get sick. The guy will say, hey, look, don't talk to me till you're better. And I mean, literally, that's how they treat their woman when she's not feeling well. But she goes, I better not, or he'll go find somebody else. And so she'll call him when she's better. It's really sad. And they cheat all the time. It's just common. In fact, the women I've spoken with in all three of these continents that we're dealing with, four really, they've all said, yeah, we expect the men are going to cheat. We just hope they're discreet so they don't embarrass us. Why? Because the guys can, because of the disparity of the ratio between, you know, the women looking for a good man, and the men can all feign that they're, you know, looking for it too. They'll consider it. And a lot of the women think they can win the guy over. You know, if the guy doesn't act like he's really marriage-minded, she goes, I can get him. I can get him. I can convince him. And they try to work on getting this guy to come around to lock in and commit to marriage. But very few of the guys do want marriage. And so that's their story. So what does this mean? What does their lifestyle look like if that's the story about the guys in their own country? They compete, literally, and I've had these studies before, and email me, I'll give you the replay to the woman who ran the mental clinic psych ward over in Odessa. She had a whole mental health facility she was in charge of, and did it for her entire adult career, and she came back giving these ratios, is that it's not just the disparity of there's a few more million more women than men, it's how many more women want marriage and family and commitment, and how many men want marriage, family, and commitment. She says that is about an 8-to-1 ratio. So the women are competing for that little group of men, and the men who aren't in that group will start a relationship, maybe to get a one-night stand or something, you know, maybe feigning that they're pretending they may be in that other group, and of course, you know, it fades. They realize that marriage-minded men are, when there is that one out of eight that is marriage-minded, he's shopping for a young girl. He's shopping, literally, the women feel like if they aren't married by 25, they've really lost their shot. It's mind-boggling, but it's true in all three continents. I guess if you include Central America, that'd make it four. But in South America, Asia, and in Eastern Europe, they've all said the same thing. If I haven't found a man by 25, my chances diminish greatly. You know, this is amazing, because our guys find ladies 28, 32, 35, and they're amazing women, and they're gorgeous. They dress well. They're educated. They're sharp. They're warm-hearted, attentive, and they feel like they kind of missed their shot, you know. And here's what happens with most of them. They're probably going to marry once within their 20s and have a child. And they're going to spend, but the guy will leave, because most of them do. They'll spend the rest of their lives as a single mother, supporting themselves, probably shared living with their mother and grandmother, you know, to share costs and to help raise the other child, because that's the norm. That's very common. It's the very common story there. They will have a succession of short-term relationships throughout the rest of their life. The tone of their lives are often heavy with that responsibility that they have to financially support themselves, the work, plus being the single mom. Their moments of fun and joy are the exception to their daily experience. It's just, they don't complain about it, but this is just their life. I had a young man, I was very impressed with his insights. He was a translator, Ukrainian man who worked for the military, and now they have all these advisors coming in. So he's working with all these foreign teams, translating for them to the Ukrainians. And after getting to deal with so many different Western countries, he had this opinion. He says, you know, I really realized the core difference between you guys in the West and us here in the Ukraine is that for us, we see life as work. We see life as difficult, and we don't complain about it. That's the norm. We see it when we have moments of of fun and joy and play is the exception. And so we celebrate them because they're the exception. You guys in the West expect things to be great. You expect to have fun. You expect to enjoy everything you do, even in your work. And when you have pain and hardness and difficulty, you fight to get out of it fast because it's the exception. And your normal expectation is the good situation always in your life. And I thought that was a very key insight. And if you understand that perspective, where they're coming from, that they consider life to be hard. They don't complain about it. Hey, this is what you do. Don't suck it up. I mean, so what? You work hard. You know, not all of it's fun. When you have fun, you celebrate it. You know, it brings a different worldview, you know, to everything. And I want you to appreciate that. Okay. All right. So what they do value, and here's where it comes back around to us, is the thing they really can't find. They can't seem to find, and that's a good man who's really just going to be genuinely interested in them. You know, even when the guys get interested, mostly they feel like it's just for sex and it's not for a long-term interest. But a guy who's actually, no way, I'm interested in you. Tell me more. You fascinate me. That's like, really? It would blow them away. Second of all, a man who would be faithful to them. That's sort of like hitting the lottery. And yet here in the West, we love being monogamous. We love to be faithful to a woman that, you know, is that one that lights our world on fire every day. Girl, you and me, we're on, we're done, we're go. Let's enjoy it, you know. And so they don't even believe that's possible, you know. But fortunately, you know, with Dream Connections, they know us and our reputation. And they know we bring good men. So we have that going for us. But it's funny to think about that. But being a faithful man, you know, to find a guy like you is kind of almost like the lottery to them. It's almost too good to be true. A man who wants to support and protect them. And again, a lot of these guys, they don't bring their financial paycheck in. They're not helping, you know, financially. They're there for a while. They come and go and they leave. A man who would be emotionally connected to them in deep companionship and will work through conflict. And if you've heard me talk about this before, this is a huge point. The fact that we love to be entertained. We love the feeling of romance. We love to be connected with a woman where she lights our world on fire. We light her world on fire. And then, of course, conflicts. It's just stuff we work through. Because, again, a lot of the guys, they aren't going to put up with a lot. Something comes up. There's a bump in the road. And the guy's like, conflict. Yeah, it's too much work. I'll find another girl. Because I've had interviews with Ukrainian sailor said on a video I've got. He says, hey, I can find a different girlfriend every month. So why would they put up with a fight or a conflict? For a guy like us to come along and we have a miscommunication, something happened, and for us to say, hey, it's cool. We'll work it out. And she'll be like, you didn't leave? You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I got a good one. I got to hang on to this one. But that's something that they value and they can't find. A man who shares their dreams for family. And that could just simply be committed in deciding, hey, let's talk about together what we want to make out of our unity here. And it doesn't mean children, your family, but it's like a one who will work together to build a dream together that they can, is just, it's fantasy things to them, but it's their dream. A man who'd be fun to be around. Their life is heavy. You know, like I've always said, if you can sort of be this bubble, this little oasis, they come around you and it takes a break from the heaviness of their life, you become a joy, you know, and a delight for them. And one, a guy who knows what he wants in life. And again, this is the thing they value they can't find often over there because the guys don't want to be committed. They don't want to have to think about, you know, I know she wants marriage, but marriage can mean, you know, I'm not going to make any more money. It's just going to cost me money to do that. And do I really want it? I don't know. You know. And then, of course, career-wise, most of these places, they're not places where they can, you know, hope to be the next Donald Trump. There's not. You know, so for them, it's like, you know, they don't know what they want to do. They're going to go from being a taxi driver to, you know, a banker to whatever. But it's not these big plans like we do. We have this goal, this desire to better our lives. And, you know, even if we just have a good salary job, we think about, hey, well, I'll save up. I'm put some money aside. I'm going to do this vacation thing. We have these desires. And they don't find the local guys often having just those basic ambitions and knowing what they want to do with their life. All right. Now, here's the key. You're going to love this slide. So pay attention. Get a drink. Dude, when I came up with this, seriously, this is money. This is money right here because you're going to go like, whoo-wee. Yes, you are. Hang on. All right. Are you ready? If they find their man and this guy says, yeah, honey, let's do this. I want you to be my girlfriend. I'm going to be your man. This is their man. This is what they do for their man. His happiness is a reflection on her success as a wife. Your happiness, guys, your happiness is a direct reflection on how good of a wife she's being. You know, and in a sense, you know, us good guys, too, we want to make our wives happy and we want to feel good. Hey, my wife is happy. She's enjoying life with me. It makes me feel good. That's even more so. It even comes in the parental models. You know, I can't tell you how often I've heard, you know, the mamas saying, you know, tell their daughters, hey, you keep that man happy. You know, even the mamas are on them that, hey, you got a good man. You better keep that man happy. You are not going to hear this back home. You better keep that man happy. It's so true. When I'm in a bad mood or something's off, my wife takes it as her personal responsibility to help bring me back up. And again, I teach this in the Euphoric Love series that I do about, you know, filling each other's cup and always getting back to that state of euphoric love. But that's really what it is when I'm out, my wife is like, well, what can I do for you? What do you need? Let's get you back. You know, and she'll say, I need my happy American back. What's up with you? Because part of it, she takes it personally. It's like she somehow failed that I'm, if there's any area of my life where I'm miserable and unhappy. If there's somebody who ever betrayed me, she goes, babe, tell me who it is. He's going down right now. And it's so cute the way she just comes out and she's like, I'm going to get it from my man, you know, and this, it is adorable. Guys, I've never had an experience like this in my life. It's absolutely awesome, awesome, awesome. And, you know, I guess it's just, you know, we provide what they're really looking for that they can't get. Remember the other slide, things they can't get? We deliver that so it fills their dream. And they are just on it to make sure that you are also happy because you've made them happy. They want to do their part for their half. And this is where, if you saw in the quote with that girl who says, you know, hey, you know, if you want to be the man, take care of the money, you know, be my protector. I'm going to make the home. I want to do my part, my zone, my place that I'm going to own. I'm going to own this, the home. I want to make it cozy. I want to make you happy. I want to do things to serve. And the little thing she says about how I'm going to do that, that's my secret, you know, these kind of things. It's like they love that. They want to own that. In fact, when I first brought my wife here, true story, I brought my wife back here, and we were finishing up dinner on a hot night in Sacramento, and I went to go take my dish from the table to the sink. Common thing, why wouldn't I do that? And she looked at me, she goes, what kind of insult is that? Are you insulting me? Are you saying I'm not going to do my job? Right in front of my face, you're going to pick your own dish up and put it up there? He goes, look, you do all these other things. Can I at least have this? I'm serious. I was like, no, it's cool. I'll leave the plate on the table. You can clear the table. It's all yours. Watch it. It's yours. Yours. So, you know, we jokingly today will often use paper plates. You know, if we're doing a quick meal or something, it's like, hey, no problem. Everything goes in the trash. But no, she's like washing the dishes, the domestic scene. That's her thing. You know, it's like, what are you doing? And so you got to say that's inherent in their culture. It's like they want to do their part and then it becomes their zone and they own it. And within that zone of not only the house, you know, any kids, all these kind of things is you. And so all of them working in harmony are part of her domain. And she wants to make sure that that's covered. Make sure the house is cozy. Making sure guests are honored. She wants to be the hostess with the mostess. She wants anybody who comes in that house goes, wow, your wife really takes care of this place because that's a reflection on her. For it to be sloppy would be like she'd be horrified, you know. And, of course, the exception today is we've got our house filled with puppies. We've had people coming over to adopt, so our house is covered with puppy stuff right now. Or they're all, you know, little blankets and towels here. So it's not what it normally is. But normally, boy, I tell you, we have guests over and we're taking care of things. And she wants to make sure that those guests feel honored. And most of all, that it makes me look good. She wants to make me look good to other people. She wants to dress well so they go, wow, your wife is hot. She wants to have things together so when they see her home, it's like it makes me look good. Wow, your wife really takes care of us. She loves to do things that people are impressed with her where I somehow also get the credit. And that makes her heart glow. You know, it's like she made me look good. You know, and it, to the extent we joke about this, but when she goes clothes shopping, she says, babe, this is for you. I'm doing this to make you look good, like you have a hot wife. I'm shopping for you. Now, they're very conservative. My wife loves thrift shopping, you know, at you know, Ross and some of these other places at the mall that, you know, we don't do Neiman Marcus or anything like that. But she loves to, you know, and that's part of her responsibility, the household budget and these things. She wants to be conservative with it. But to look good for her man is part of a reflection on her, and it's really neat. That's what they will do for their man. Make sure their man, and this is their quote, it's all over their culture, I'm not the only one, the women say this, never let your man leave the house hungry or horny. And basically, because where they're saying, why would I intentionally put my man into the world, you know, where he would be not have his needs met, not be satisfied. That means I failed as his wife. I didn't do my job. He goes out of the house feeling horny. He goes out of the house hungry. I didn't feed him. I didn't take care of him. His happiness is my domain. And also it's the way they want to try to keep, you know, the man connected, because in their culture, they're working to try to convince him to stay. In our case, we're going like, I can live with that. I can live with that. She always wants to look beautiful for their man, respect his wishes as man of the house. You know, again, this other lady was going to like let him, hey, it's your money, you want to buy the house. You know, a man wants to do something. So again, ultimately, if they come down to it, and ultimately he's going to say this is the way it is, it's fine. But again, if you give her this freedom in the relationship just to say what she means and what she has and her opinion, you know, she'll feel good. Hey, I told him, and ultimately we decide this. Okay, I'll support you. And I can't tell you how many times in my life, has said that phrase to you. Babe, whatever you want to do, I support you. Whatever you do, I support you. Babe, you want to do this? I support you. And in fact, it's cute. You know, the difference in cultures, too. She expects me to go out with the guys a couple nights a week. And so, like, I'll talk about, you know, going to play poker. And she'll do this cute little thing. Like, she says, babe, I refuse for you not to go do poker tonight. It's fun. It's adorable. I love being married to this woman. Now, this is the really fun one, guys. We die for this. We'd be like, oh, please tell me this is true, Mark. It is true. Our discomforts are nurtured and nursed. I am babied. I am telling you, if I am ever sick, what she does to take care of me and nurse and oh, my gosh, whatever I'm – it's like that is their role. It is part of the female role, and they do it like nobody's business. And it is awesome. It is just – it's – guys, I'm a big man, and I still love being babied. I'm sure I'd get a lot of amens out there right now. It's all good. So by contrast – now let's move to our side of the equation. I'm going to bring the two of these together, and we're going to wrap this up. By contrast, what are we accustomed to? What do we experience in our domestic relationships here in our country? Whether if you didn't go overseas, you know, you're just having a relationship with somebody. If you're in Canada, from somebody else in Canada. If you're in New Zealand, somebody else in New Zealand or Australia or the UK or whatever. So what are we used to? And this is the painful truth. This is why we're all on this call. What are we accustomed to? We are just not valued for being men, period. In fact, I've had this talk before, and we'll bring it up next week and other times when we talk about masculinity. It's in the Western culture, I don't want to say that men are necessarily demonized, but there was certainly a period of time in the 90s where universities were required to have gender sensitivity classes. I kid you not, you guys know this stuff, okay? In the late 80s and 90s, the colleges made all men go through gender sensitivity classes in which they were told males have been responsible for all the wars of the world, males have been all the sexual predators, males fill all the prisons, and whereas there may be statistical truth in some of that, it is not the whole story, and it does not... But what's the outcome of that? The outcome is shame on you just being a man. Shame on you for just being a male. You are part of the worst cesspool of societies that are out there. And furthermore, aside from that academia slant that pervaded back 20 years ago, the other aspect has been Madison Avenue. And you guys have heard me quote this book many times, the book The Decline of Men. is written by a journalist in New York who talks about the Madison Avenue spending trends. And statistics are absolutely, I mean, there's an entire chapter that's just numbers. And at first I got overwhelmed by it, but then I started to get the pattern and I really got fascinated by the spending trends. And what they've learned is that women in America, this book was written about America, is that women in America just control like 70% of the buying power. I mean, it's like 68 something, but it was a huge percentage of all the money spent is under control and influence of the women in this culture. And so knowing that the role of advertising is to get a dollar, they're going after where the money's being spent. So all this advertising, 70% of all the ads out there are towards women primarily. And therefore, many, many times you find the women look good and the men look stupid. And the women had to save the day, you know, and this kind of a thing. And so how does that, the compounding effect of this, plus the feminist movement, which originally started out as equal work for equal pay. And that was the original mode of it. But there was an underlying seething venom of hatred for men who have taken advantage of women and made them work and not paid them as much. And this underlying hatred current that went behind it led to all kinds of things, you know, where we're looked on with distrust to begin with. The first look at a man in the West is of distrust. Your agenda is to demean women, to pay them less, or, you know, the sexual predator side, to harass them simply by looking at them. I mean, seriously, guys have been fired for simply looking, and the woman thought his eyes went to her butt, and he lost his job, his financial income, his abilities to pay, everything gone. And so the fear we have in the workplace about doing anything around women, because our entire livelihood could be flushed, puts us in a place in the West that being a man is not valuable. Guys, it's a freaking scary place to be a man in the West in some circles. Understood. You know, now I love Garcia's book, the one about the decline of men, because the end, his conclusion is it doesn't matter. Screw it. What you just have to realize is that to be a man is just harder than it is other places. So suck it up and still be a man. And I love that attitude. You know, so to me, I appreciate where he's coming from, but his conclusion was great. Yeah, there are actual scientific reasons why in the Western cultures, you know, there are forces against you just for being a man. But you know what? Suck it up and be the man anyway. This is what we do. We're given a spirit of the warrior. And I'll talk more about that in another time. What we're accustomed to is that our ability to provide is meaningless. It is meaningless. Our ability to say, I want to be the provider for the home. The other woman's going like, what, I'm going to rely on you? No, I'm going to get my own career. I'm going to get my own income. That way, you know, I don't need you. You know, and a protector, are you kidding me? We got 3.5 minute response time in most areas for police. You know, some places, obviously, you guys are longer. But I mean, dude, we got protection here. You know, we're safe. You know, the police actually do respond and will protect, unlike some other places around the world where the police show up, you don't know if they're just looking for a bribe, if they're in with the robbers. You have no idea. Here, being protected, being a provider, it is meaningless. Meaningless. And yet, what's the role of masculinity? Part of it, the core of it, is to be protector-provider. And it is worthless here. It has no value. Why? Because the women can do it just as well. And I've literally had women say to me, back when I was dating, I make my own money, I drive a nice car, what else are you bringing to the table? That is a quote. That is a quote. Now, obviously, that doesn't make her an attractive dating partner, because you can imagine I wouldn't even want to be in a two-paragraph conversation with a woman who opens with that, okay? But truly, there are subcurrents to our culture that feel that way. Again, not all. I mean, I have daughters who are wonderful. They're supportive wives to their men. They're hardworking. They're wonderful, loving people. Everybody loves them. And there are women like that, you know? So I'm not saying that across the board, but I'm talking about guys in the dating scene. What I'm telling you, you're going like, yeah, I relate to what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And part of it comes back to other talks I've done on supply and demand and these kind of things. But we're talking about, what are we accustomed to? What's our value, you know, here in our own cultures? What does it mean to be the man here? Very different. Our faithfulness, to be faithful, is expected. It's not appreciated. It's expected. Of course you're faithful to me. What else? You know? And our value is based on our ability to raise the status of the women in our lives. When you're dating out there, your value to her is how much you elevate her status. Do you take her to another level? Does your income take her to another lifestyle? Does the circles you walk in elevate her status? Does the lifestyle, the things you like to do, bring her to another level? So you talk about cultures where, you know, it's the bigger, better deal. They're all in the money. I get these guys thinking like, oh, the women overseas, they just want your money. Like the ones around you don't? In a worse way, it's their value system. That's the thing that's icky. It's the value system that puts this thing about money and status above you as a person, you know? And so it always comes down to the thing you can't get. So women here can get money. They can provide for themselves. They can get protection. They are valued in the society. Women are totally valued in our society. Faithfulness is expected, so they don't have to worry about that. So what is the thing they can't get? Not a lot. So unless you bring something they can't get them by themselves, you don't bring a lot of value. And that's the sad part, you know. And this is why overseas, what they're looking for is, you guys think about it, they just, because they make less money, that they must want more money. That's not their value system. That's not the thing they can't get. And that's what this is all about. And so let's get back to the topics about being a man. And of course, dating here in our own, our discomforts are just ignored. You know, it's like, honey, you can get to the cupboard and get yourself another dose of the cough medicine. You're fine. All right, so now, let's come back. We've decided that what we're looking overseas meets our heart, what we're looking for. So we're going to go over there. How, I'm going to help give you some tips right now for being the man. Being the man she's hoping to find. And here's what it looks like. Here's how to deliver it. It's not that hard. I believe you already have. You already have and possess what a beautiful women relationship, her average 10 years younger than their men, average. A younger woman who's beautiful, not overweight, dresses well, traditional values, you know, who's willing to pour her life into the right man if she finds that man that they have chemistry, and he shows himself to be a man who could be the man in her life. I'm going to show you how to win right now at this game. Let's talk about it. Being the man of her dreams. First of all, lead in small things. This is easy. When you go on a quest tour, you know, we provide the translator for you. It's just your friend. She's with you through the whole week. She's your common thread through all of your experiences, right? And what she'll do is she'll help you in little ways to be the man. And so, for instance, you know, you'll talk, before you go on a date, you'll talk to her about what should we bring. And she'll say, okay, because chances are she may know some of these girls. She'll go, okay, for this girl, let's bring a small box of chocolates. And so you go get a small box of chocolates, show up, you give them to her. Oh, that'd be great. Like this kind of thing. And then already decide, because you don't know the local city. You haven't traveled these places. You know, you're not from Medellin. You're not from Bangkok. You know, you don't know what to do around there. But your local people live there. They know what to do. They live there, okay? They know all the cool places. They know what's going to be really cool to a girl over there on a date. So she'll say, hey, I got a idea. Let's suggest that we go over to this place, and then we're going to go play billiards afterwards. I think she's playful. This would be really fun for her. Okay, great. So then you step up and you lead in the small way. Say, hey, I have an idea. How about if we go, let's go down to Shambhala, and it's the restaurant right by the river. We'll have cafe there, and then let's go for a walk. And then if we still have time, you know, we'll get a taxi. We'll go back and play some billiards. How does that sound to you? That, for them, you have to understand, where they live, leading like that and a little thing like that is such an oasis. You heard my wife talk about this before, other ladies I've interviewed. They can then relax and go, oh, I don't have to lead. I don't have to be in charge. He's going to take the lead. I can just relax and follow. That it's such an oasis for them to be able to relax, let somebody else lead for a while. Because their life is, they have all the burdens on them, all the responsibilities on them. And for them to be around a man who's just going to take charge for a while, they can relax and just go along with the flow and just like being carried away by the current, it's a joy to them. So learn to lead in little tiny things. And this is the first thing. And you're just going to start seeding little tips of how, you know, showing her how you can be the man and how you can lead. And they're really, truly appreciated. Second thing is, bring your weather with you. Like I said, their lives can be heavy. Their life can be you know, serious with all the obligations, responsibilities on them. Be her bubble of oasis. When she's around you, it's her break. It's her way to relax. You're fun. You're always comfortable. You're fascinated. You're pursuing her. You're interested in her, and this is her way. You know, your way to bring your weather with you. Be this place, this oasis for her, and that's something you could definitely do. Next one is, be pumped up about your life and the things you love, excluding her. This is things like you love about what you do. Because here's the truth, and I'm going to come back and do a whole talk on this later. I love this quote. It's like, she will fall in love as much with your vision as she does with you. When she hears about the things you want to do in your life, and the things you want to go, she'll want to say, I want to help you, honey. And in fact, the great part is there are times when you may be down and you're married and you're struggling and it's hard to finish the vision you have. And she goes, babe, don't give up. You can't. Why? Because she's fallen in love with that for you. Because she knows this is going to make you happy. She heard it come out of your heart that this is deep desire. I want to make this thing happen so bad. I want to start my own business, whatever it is. And then she'll be there at that time when you're ready to give up. And she'll go, honey, don't. This is in your heart. I will help you. What can I do for you? And she will be the wind beneath your wings. And so just being simply is like she can see you as that man, as being the man, simply by the fact that, hey, you love your life. And again, it doesn't have to be rich, it doesn't have to be fancy, but it's just simply, what do you do? Do you just love what you do? You know, on the weekends, you ride quad runners with your buddies. It costs you nothing but some gas, right? But it's like, this is your love. You love it, you know, whatever you do. And excluding her. A lot of guys make the mistake of thinking that when they talk about, pursuing her, and because they're on this adventure. I mean, a quest tour is an adventure. You travel overseas. You're getting all these exotic experiences, hanging with the beautiful women, your translator, all these other guys. You're having this great experience. It's an adventure. And so for you, she is the adventure. Okay? She's the adventure. And for you, that's the ultimate climax of finding somebody while you're on this adventure. But for her, she's not her own adventure. She knows her own story. That's boring. She doesn't want to know more about her. And for you to be obsessed with her, you know, is like, it's kind of a letdown. I want to be caught up in something bigger. I want to be caught up in a grander adventure. And so that's where the posture is still, hey, this is where I'm going. I love it. And I'm just looking to bring the right person along to share it. Show ambition and be the movement she wants to join. I like that phrase. You know, be the movement she wants to join. Be genuinely interested in her life. This is fun. Just be fascinated. This is what you want to be the man. You know, no other men are doing this for her. Just asking her a question, being fascinated by it. Really? What is that like? How many hours a day? You do that? Wow. What if it was, you know, and giving her a little creds for a little accomplishment. She said, my wife at 17 was in a factory running a crew of five. The five were all much older than her. And she was running it with efficiency. I'm like, babe, that's incredible. You're amazing. And she nobody tells her that there. Show romantic attention, spoiler. Once in a while, just be that debonair, suave guy. You come in, maybe on a special date, you know, you dress up just a bit more, bring in that long stem rose. Maybe you have that bracelet or necklace for her as a gift. You get the seat at the restaurant by the waterfront, you know, with a candle lit, and you arrange, you know, something special for her to have to go into that. And just to do that, that's the man. The man takes the role of romantic lead. Here's more ways. That's just the beginning. I have some more ideas for you how to be the man. Laugh a lot. I've always said this, laughter leads to love. When you guys are having fun, you know, whatever you both find in common to laugh about together, that blends psychologically on many levels, many discussions and studies on laughter. But when you find something you both laugh about, you know, that's fun. But, you know, make a mental note. I got to think about later why we both laughed at that. I want to think about, try out some other ways to see if, you know, you can build on it. The first thing, being the first to suggest places to go, and that's, I just mentioned that, but being the first to suggest, and of course ask her, you know, unless you have some other ideas, you know, and be open to that. If she says, hey, well, I was thinking tonight, that sounds great, but would you mind if we also did this? Then of course, you know, you're open to that. But just simply being the one to initiate, you know, is being the man. Include her in there, you're going to final decision-making process. Talk about the life you want to create together. And this is where, you know, for her dream is to find that person who wants to build that life together. So if you initiate some of those conversations about talking about what you love to do back home and then asking her, does that sound like fun to you? You know, What do you imagine about your life? You know, what would you love to do? If you had choices where you weren't having to do it for a paycheck and you could just try different careers, what would those be? What would that look like? You know, be the first to initiate affection. Be the one to grab her hand and hold it. Be the one to grab her hand and put it on your elbow. Be the one to reach around her. At the right timing and pace, also be the first to scoop her up, put your hand on the back of her neck, and give her that first gentle kiss. You know, it's like the man pursuing, initiating, grabbing her. They love to be pursued and taken. I'll give this visual image. Have you guys seen the movie Legends of the Fall with Brad Pitt? It's probably 20 years ago now. But there's a scene where he and a woman who was a Native American who was working for the family and nurturing and caring and part of the family, you know, they were kind of kids growing up. All of a sudden, they realized there's this fire there, and she's like feeling weird about it because they kind of grew up as kids and this kind of thing. And he just like, screw it. He grabs her and he just bends her over and kisses her. And he's like, and she was like, thank you. You took all the pressure off, all the awkwardness. You just grabbed me and kissed me. Thank you. You know, and there's a part of where they want to be grabbed and taken. And once you're in marriage too, there's a part where, and again, I'm only going to say this because they tell this to me, and I find this, and I'm not going to talk about this long, but they love to be taken, even in intimacy, to have the man initiate and taken that way. But again, that's in marriage, that's you have a trust relationship and many other things, but they really do love the man to be the one who just, you're my woman. And this is what they love. As much as we love to hear that from them where they say, this is my man, and we feel that warmth that she looks in your eyes with, this is my man. This is my man. And she's so proud of that. They love us to grab her and say, you're my woman. You're my woman. So those are my key steps, my key suggestions on how to be the man for her and her culture, what it means to her, and how to win the day and come across above and beyond her expectations. What it means for her. And you heard what you didn't hear in any of that was having to be the bigger, better deal or anything else. It's you, what you bring to the table, if you will honor it and come with confidence and be the one to just gently lead, pursue her romantically. You are going to be the man for her in her life. Thanks for watching, guys.